Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
As empty as the building is this morning, I could get a complex if I didn't have a type A personality. I remember Bill would be the schedule and him, Barb would be gone every time I spoke. I started to think about that. My wife thought the reading this morning, being in the Old Testament, said, I'm not an Old Testament teacher, but I do use the Old Testament in talk. So, and since we lost an hour, you know, we have to be like the Marines. We have to adapt and overcome. So, as we start out here in Deuteronomy, as he read this, and I won't go through 4 through 25, because if I did, I know I would have 120 or 30 verses in this talk, so we're not going to do all that. But when you start off here in verse 4, and you talk about what was the book of Deuteronomy for? This is the last book before they enter the promised land. So when you think about that, this is preparing them. God is telling them, okay, you're going to, you know, rub elbows with others here. We're going to chase them. You're supposed to chase them all out before you. This was incomplete, of course. They didn't do it. But one of the things he wants them to keep, and as we go into the New Testament, you'll find there's a lot of similarities, especially in the book of Hebrews here, as it describes it. Because some of the things, and then how it tells how that which was old turns to the new, of course, with Christ in the New Testament. But it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Verse 6 says, And these words will I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And it goes on and it says, You're supposed to teach this diligently to your children. They were to put the scriptures upon the posts of their house, upon the door frames. They wore these little things upon their wrist, and in the time of Christ and Paul, you know, as it went through, they wore those frontlets or whatever you called it, and I've seen pictures where they had these little dills in the middle of their forehead. The Pharisees liked to have this because it was a show of how religious they were. But this was said of God, that they would put this instructions that he gave them. This would be a wholehearted effort of each and every one of the children of Israel to take to heart and take to heed the words that he says. He says you're supposed to teach it to your children. You're supposed to do this when you rise up in the morning. You're supposed to do this when you sit at your table. These are the things that you shall talk about. You shall talk about your Lord God and all that he's done for you. And it was good. Denny's prayer this morning was very good because it included several things without being, you know, 10 minutes long. There's a lot in there. And it talked about all the different difficulties that's going on in our lives right now. But when we look at the children of Israel, and one of the things it's saying, it says, okay, I'm going to send you into this land. You're going to drive these people out. They've already built the buildings. They've already got the vineyards. They've already got all these fields planted. You're going to drive all these people out? They've been working on this place for generations, and it's going to be yours. But this is what I want you to do. I want you to love me and love, trust, and obey only me. I want to be your only God. And in our teaching this morning, how it ties into this, the land of Israel had become divided into the north and the south. One part of it was wholly given unto, and as he talked about, I'm not even sure I can say it either, the gods that they had there, but it meant many. You know, and some of them even run their children through the fire, which had been forbidden. But one of the things that he's talking about here is it's instructions and it's warning. And it's telling them of what. If you do this, God will protect you. He will give you all these things and he will bless you. And if we go on down here, he says, And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes to fear Lord our God. For it is good always that we might preserve us alive as it is this day. And he shall be our righteousness, if we will observe to do these things, commandments before the Lord, our God, as he hath commanded us. Of course, we know that they failed, just as we fail. Because God gave them all of these things, and what happens? When you have a lot of stuff, you become complacent. There's something about need and want that gives you a desire to do. And if you are seeking the Lord, you desire to do his will. But I know all of us live fairly comfortably. Most of us have at least one automobile, some two, some three. My grandson told his teacher that his grandparents had four. We don't have four anymore. We sold one. So, but I thought that was interesting that even a child could recognize we had maybe one or two too many vehicles. But as we go on into this, and I move over to the 8th chapter of Hebrews, I want you to keep in mind, even though we are in the New Testament, God has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever. So even though what we had is what we call the Mosaic Law, or as we look at it is being the Old Testament, however you want to look at it, one of the things that really hasn't changed is God the Father is still God the Father. And it is through Christ we pray to God the Father, for he is our advocate. And just to set in place how much difference it is, how many of you can think about when Solomon dedicated the temple? He was the one that was allowed to build it. They had wandered, it had been a tent, and Solomon was allowed. It said that the blood of all of the sacrifices actually, and this was a magnificent building. It took them 7 years to build. Of course, you know, we see how it kind of fell away because it took 14 years to build his house. But the blood of the sacrifices ran down the steps of the temple. That's how many sacrifices were made. So when you get into that and then you stop and think, these emblems right here that you took represented one sacrifice for all for sin. And like in Hebrews 10, when it goes on and it starts in, it talks about the blood of, you know, bulls and goats and all these things. And it, you know what it done? It was a down payment. It was an earnest payment. Because what all these sacrifices done was just kept moving this forward. You know, they keep, you know, saying, kick the can down the road. And that's what this done. Because you had the sin from Adam, as it talks about. And if you read in Genesis, all the way up to the time of Christ. And Christ bore the sins of the entire world upon his shoulders when he was on the cross. And the blood sacrifice, of course, was when his side was pierced. Blood and water came out. So the difference between what they done then and what we do now, and it even talks about this was to be in their heart, but it talks to us about we should have these things on our heart. We should talk every man to his neighbor. I'm lapsed in that. Because as I look around, and we have a few families missing, and that could be because I'm talking today. You never know. Could be planned. But you think about it. This building is so large that even me standing this far from that microphone, I can echo. I can make this echo in here if I need to, because my voice is loud and the building is empty. But the failure of the Israelites or the children of Israel was to be the example. They were, when they built that temple, and the warnings that was given unto Solomon was, this building is a high building which you build. And, you know, it talked about how great it could be, and this is God talking to him. But he said, if thou dost not keep my commandments, talked about it being as people would hiss when they looked upon this, meaning that it would be looked down upon. And by the time of Christ, We know that the Hebrew people as a whole was an occupied country. They had had three, basically, taken away. They had two captivities and an occupation. So if you read back there where it says, do this, you know there were some failures. There had always been a small rudiment that had always been faithful to God. But sometimes all of the punishments that he said would come upon them did. He kept his word. When we look at Hebrews, the 8th chapter and verse 10, it says, for this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Verse 11 says, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, a new covenant he hath made, the first old now, that which decayed and waxes old is ready to vanish away. Talking, of course, about the coming of Christ, the new covenant that would be there, made with his blood. But all of these things that is talked about in Hebrew, in the 9th chapter it goes through and it talks about all the different things that made up the temple and where the priests went in, the Holy of Holies, and all the things therein. And then Christ, of course, is our high priest. So there's no one that is going to go in and make sacrifices for us as a priest did, who had to every year go in and make them for himself, then turn around and he had made them for the people. So in Hebrews 10, starting off in verse 1, for every law having a shadow of good things, and this was talked about in the class also, good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Remember, God expects us to strive for perfection. And here it's talking about it couldn't make them, because these sacrifices had to keep being made over and over and over for each. And if you get, you know, the list is innumerable of all the different things that you could do for sin. If you were of this, had this much money, you gave this for the sacrifice. If you had this much money, and it went all the way down to the poorest of poor could make an offering. For when they had not ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sin, but in those sacrifices there is remembrance again made of sins every year. It's talking, of course, of the high priest going in, and also those that continued. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Therefore, when he cometh unto the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above then he said, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings, offerings for sin, thou wouldest, and not neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. So said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And it goes on and it says, every high priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for the sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. When we look at this and we make a comparison, the things that went on in the Old Testament and how we look at how much easier, it's not easy to be a Christian, no. But just think about all the things you had to go through. You have this prize animal. Your best was to be offered to them. It was to be taken in to the priest. They would inspect it. It was supposed to be without blemish. You couldn't go and take, you know, the runt of the flock and run it in there. You're supposed to take the very best and give the very best. When we look at our Christian lives, what does God expect us to do? Well, if we go over into Romans and 1 and 2, and it talks about we're supposed to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your, it doesn't say unreasonable. It says reasonable. When we think about in James, it says, what is your life? It's just a vapor. It's here for a short time and it passes away. They're in the fourth chapter. What is your life? It is simply very short. And just like these priests who offered all these sacrifices, and it was just moving it down the road until the time of God in His completeness and in His wisdom, Christ was born, grew up, wasn't even accepted in His hometown because, well, aren't you just Joseph's son? That's what's said. And even what we were talking about today, how could you talk like this? Not accepted at all. And one of the things that kind of thought about as I was there, you think about the miracles Jesus performed that talked about in Capernaum? I may not say it. If you say it, I won't be able to say it either. So, but talking about in the place where he was before, but just think about this. What kind of miracle was it when he escaped out of the midst of them? They were going to take and cast him off a high hill or cliff or whatever, you know, instead of going to take him up and just throw him down a hill. And it says he escaped out of the midst of them. So, the most miraculous of all things is Jesus came. He lived a sinless life. Think about that. Jesus lived a sinless life under the Mosaic law. Something that Paul writes, which he was basically a scholar of. He had grown up at the feet of Gamaliel. So when Paul writes about it, it isn't because he has any lack of knowledge of it. He writes about it because he had a great deal of knowledge. And the law was burdensome, and people just wanted to keep part of it. By the time we had Christ come, and then after his death, and the apostles were out teaching, you had people who wanted to keep certain traditions that they had got, like different things that comes up, but they wanted to keep different parts. They wanted to pick out what they liked, I guess. It's kind of, you know, fair weather Christians. You pick out the part you want, that part there, oh, I don't really want that to apply to me, and move on. If you lived under the law, you had to practice the law to the letter. There was no exceptions to say that you were going to do what was under the old law was you had to practice every bit of it. And it is quite lengthy. But you were supposed to go. If you didn't understand, there should have been someone to tell you. You could go get a scripture written by one of the scribes. Then you could, you know, you could put it on your forehead or what, and you're supposed to have this. You're always supposed to have the Lord God before you. You take the same similarity. You're supposed to have the Lord God before you. When we get up in the morning, when we rise, midday, evening, night, we're supposed to live it. That has not changed. And it's something that if you don't do it, your neighbors see it. Everyone around you knows it because they'll hear it in your speech. They'll see it in what you do. Because if you proclaim that you are a Christian, you are being watched every day, whether you like that or not. Christ set forth the example. we sing the song, you know, walking in the footsteps of Jesus and all this. And you might want to think about what some of these songs say as you're singing them. Because, you know, when we sing, we're not singing to the choir. We're singing these praise to God. So that's something to think about also. And I'm not someone, I don't lead songs, I'm not a singer. I'm first to admit that. But when we look at the whole of what we have here, and I'm going to be able to have more time than what I thought, so I'm going to be able to go through more of this. But when we look at how it is, the goal of everyone that is here, I would hope, would be a home in heaven. Eternity. Because if you look out in the world, the only part of heaven they have is right here in the right now. Think about it. This is it. It is our job to tell them about Christ. We don't need to twist their arm. We just need to tell them the truth. Tell them that Jesus died for them. God loves them. Jesus loves them. And we love them too. And let them know that the example that was set forth by Christ and his sacrifice was the greatest sacrifice ever known to man. And they can find this in history. They can find that all of the Bible has been proved over and over. It's not a fairy tale. This wasn't just something that happened. Everything has happened according to God's plan. He has set all these things in motion. He spoke the world into existence. He let Adam name all of those creatures, and some of them are pretty weird looking to me, but he brought all of them to him and let him. But remember, you know, when you die, you don't turn into an angel. When you, because angels are created, and you and I were procreated, and we were created in the image of God, for he formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Not only soul, but spirit. And the angels are innumerable, but you and I shall return to God, as it talks about in Ecclesiastes. The spirit shall return to him who gave it. We are not only flesh and blood, we are soul and spirit. Hebrews talks about how the word of God is more mightier than the two-edged sword, dividing both bone and marrow, soul and spirit. So God is able to destroy all. So when we look at the promises that God made to us, and remember, he kept them. But just as all things in this life, there's a season for everything, and it goes in its proper order. In Hebrews, the 9th chapter, it says, "And as is it appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Unto them that look to him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." If we look how God set up the plan of salvation, and just in the simplicity of it is astounding. God gave us the Bible. It's the one advantage that we had. We don't have the spiritual gifts, but we do have the Word of God. And we're supposed to take it, what we sing about, taking the Word of God with you everywhere as you go. And we should do that. One of the things that I miss about working, a lot of people think that's kind of funny, but I actually enjoyed working until they sent me home from my injuries. But my drive was about 30 minutes. This was a time that the rest of the world, I'd never played the radio. I just thought about, you know, that was my alone time for thinking about God and the scriptures and many things. And on my way home was the same way. Because I'm one of those people, when I went to work, I was at work. When I left work, my work stayed there and I went home. And I knew a lot of people I worked with that just, you know, one guy, he took a radio home so he could hear what was going on the whole time when he was home. I'm like, it's nuts. Because I'm like one of those, I was always on call, but unless you got me, I wasn't. Because I had to pick up the phone. If I wasn't home, I just wasn't home. They offered me a beeper one time. I said, you going to pay me 24/7? No. I said, I ain't wearing it. I don't work for you, but the hours that's scheduled. If you get me, you get me. If you don't, you don't. They agreed, and they never gave me a beeper. So, our lives are separate. Our spiritual life has to go with us everywhere, but we can't be overwhelming at work. We can't be overwhelming in our neighborhood. You can't be that nut that everybody wants to avoid. But what we can do is we can graciously offer the Word of God to anyone that wants to hear it. Sometimes it's not always easy. We should not be embarrassed by the Word of God. Actually, I can do anything through Jesus Christ, what strengtheneth me. You don't have to be a type A personality to annoy everyone around you. And, you know, sometimes we have to come out of our comfort zone and do things. Because, you know, you never learn anything unless you try. The one thing that I tried to teach to all the young men that I taught as I went through my job was, you will never get any better at anything unless you have failed a time or two. It's just like if you have a Bible study. You may not convert every person that's going to be there, but at least you tried. Maybe you'll do something different the next time. You won't, you know, remember, the Bible is not taught by opinion. My opinion is worth nothing. And like if I'm teaching a class, I'll tell you if it's my opinion, then you can take it for what it's worth. Nothing. The scriptures are what we are to obey and trust. God's word. We got to take it with us. We've got to be able to use it. We've got to be able to make sure that we use the sword, which is the word of God. Make sure that we put forth the effort. And, you know, in this day and age, it's almost like religion is a bad word. And it's been so twisted into so many things. You are the one that can straighten that out by just simply using the Word of God. Not what you think the Word of God should be, just the Word of God in a simple way. Remember in Psalms it talks about making the simple wise, meaning that the Word of God is easy to be entreated, easy to understand, that we can know it. You don't have to be some scholar. You don't have to be some great person. You just have to be who you are that God created, living soul. You have to be you, and you have to be sincere, and you have to be honest in order to spread the Word of God. So as my time winds down to about 3 minutes here, in closing, I'm going to go to Ephesians, first chapter, verses 15 through 23. And while I'm going to these in particular, let's stop out. It's a prayer here is what it says in my Bible anyway. But one of the verses here that really stands out is verse 18. Because a lot of people read this and they think, well, this is Christ's inheritance. No. The church, the body of Christ as it is God's inheritance in the saints. So when we look at this, it says, therefore I also, after I heard, this is Paul wrote this, and like in Hebrews, we could spend a week arguing who wrote the book of Hebrews, which at 1 2-week meeting, they used a week to do that. And then I had to teach it in the next time, come up after the 2-week meeting. And I was told, don't go into who made it. And I said, well, God wrote it, so it's that was it. That was my statement to the class. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. And this is important, because how many of you pray for wisdom? Because in the book of James, it starts off talking about doing that. Give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Revelation meaning to know, in the knowledge of Him, knowing God, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know What is the hope of his calling? What is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? We're talking about God here. God the Father. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us word who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in heavenly places far above all principality and power and might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. God the Father gave all power to Christ. And he gave it to him that he would use it for our good in the church. Remember, Christ is the head of the church. And we do know that if we read in 1 Corinthians 15, that this church, the body of Christ, it so shall be handed up to the Father. In Philippians, as I close here, I'll leave you with this. Because, as I said, we don't turn into angels, we don't sprout wings. We go to a place of rest until the second coming. I'll get into a whole class on that. But we'll look at this as we close and leave this invitation with you. In Philippians, the third chapter, verses 20 and 21, it simply says this. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. That is what we are here for. We are here that when comes the end, when that kingdom is handed up, the final judgment is rendered, that we will not be separated as the goats will go, you know, to that second death where it talks about all of them. You know, Revelation gives a whole list. You don't want to be numbered with them. And as we pursue our lives here on earth, we should pursue them through the word of God. And we should do it heartily. As you do your job, a lot of people do their job. They get moved up. But what is your first profession? It is to be a child of Christ. Because it talks about your advocation there in Ephesians being your hobby. It's not your hobby. It is your life. I think there was a TV program named that one time. But what is your life? Where do you want to be when the final trump sounds or this life ends before the Lord comes again? Where do you want to be? We offer this invitation at this time. If there's anything we can do for you, please feel free to come forward or at any time. It isn't just now. It is standing every day.